Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, this is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Thanking God for waking me up this morning, clothing my right mind, ready to go to work for the Lord. This is a great day, and the word that God gave me this morning is this: you judge according to the flesh. I judge no one, as said by our Savior Jesus Christ. We're going to talk about a woman today caught in adultery. And I always, every time I read this story, I wonder in my mind, where's the man? Is the man? Because you can't be caught in the act of adultery by yourself. But they bring the woman to Jesus, not the man, just the woman. And I was like, what happened to the man? Anyway, that's just me thinking that. I don't know if it's about you, but I always thought that when Moses gave the law that both parties were to be stoned, not just one, but they only brought the woman to test Jesus. Jesus was like, hey, you judge by the flesh. I judge no one. You know, so we're going to get into that today. But we're going to start our word this morning in the oath we were in yesterday. And David, poor David. Hot mess, David. Is going through a nervous breakdown right now. He is going through depression right now because his son is dead. This is the same son that wanted to kill him. This is the same son that plotted for years to kill his brother, who raped his sister. Now, I'll tell you some crazy dynamics in this family. You know, and the thing is that what was going on then goes on now. You still have crazy families. You still have generational curses in families. You still have upside down situations in families. But in this family, David is having a moment because Joab killed Absalom, his son, stabbed him in the heart with spears, then had his guys that was with him just kill him and bury him in a grave, and it's done. And David's like, Absalom, wish I had died, you know, all this stuff. Now, again, Absalom was trying to take the kingdom from David. Never repented for any of his actions, was totally unrepentant, and died hanging from a tree by his long, beautiful hair. Understand, God don't like ugly, and pretty ain't all that. Because that's when I was fine. As these girls would have said back in the 70s, he was fine. He was good looking. But he didn't have the right heart. And so David is having a moment. And Joab is getting sick of it because Joab's the one to kill Absalom to stop the destruction of the kingdom. Even though David has said, don't kill him. Joab's like, if we don't kill this man, it's going to be confusion in the kingdom during the king's reign. And he's getting sick and tired of David bemoaning Absalom, who would have killed him. Pray and get into this word, because like I said, it's some crazy family dynamics going on here. Father God in heaven, we are thanking. We are thanking you this morning for waking us up, giving us do-overs, giving us opportunities to be better today than we were yesterday. Father God, I ask you to let this word permeate in our hearts, our minds, and our spirits. Give us discernment to understand it. And Lord God, continue to guide us in our day-to-day walk with you. In the name of Christ Jesus, we are thanking you this morning for your wonderful word, this basic instruction before leaving earth. We ask you to continue to guide us, continue to lead us, continue to help us be better today than we were yesterday. In the name of Christ Jesus, Lord, I ask you to increase as I decrease. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, for Father God, you are my strength. You are my redeemer. You are my daddy, and I love you more than anything. Thank you, Lord, for just choosing me for this assignment. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I thank God. I love reading, and I love reading the Bible. I love the Word of God, and I love different ones. You know, I like King James. I prefer New King James, but I like Holman's and I like others because it breaks down the word so it's understandable. And, you know, I love my little Know Your Bible book. It's really awesome. So I always tell people, when you get resources, use them. They are good, they are wonderful, and they help you. You know, just to 10 words to describe Second Samuel. David becomes Israel's greatest king, but with major flaws. That sums it up. And that's what we're dealing with right now. David's major flaws. You know, he's whining and crying for Absalom, but he didn't think about his daughter, who he allowed to be raped. And I'm just calling it like it is. David allowed it by having her go unescorted into her brother's room and allowed her to not be honored when she was raped by her brother. You know, there's a lot of crazy going on. So there are those that would say, well, Absalom did the right thing. And those would say that he did not. And David kind of swept it under the rug and kept it moving. So let's see what happens now. Now he's bemoaning Absalom, 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 my son. So let's see what Joab is about to do. So please join me this morning with my morning voice. Unfortunately, it's a little hoarse this morning. In 2 Samuel chapter 19, verse 20 through 26. And it says this. And Joab was told, behold, the king is weeping and mourning for Absalom. So the victory that day was turned into mourning for all the people. But the people heard it and said that day, the king is grieved for his son. And the people stole back into the city that day as people who are ashamed steal away from when they fled in battle. But the king covered his face, and the king cried out with a loud voice, oh, my son, Absalom, oh, Absalom, my son, my son. Then Joab came into the house of the king and said, today you have disgraced all your servants, who today have saved your life, the lives of your sons and daughters, the lives of your wives, and the lives of your concubines, in that you love your enemies and hate your friends. But you have declared today that you regarded neither prince nor servant, but today I perceive that if Absalom had lived and all of us had died today, then it would have pleased you well. Now, therefore, arise, go out and speak comfort to your servants. For I swear by the Lord, if you do not go out, not one will stay with you this night, and that will be worse for you than all the evil that has befallen you from your youth until now. Then the king arose and sat in the gate, and they told all the people, saying, there is the king sitting in the gate. So all the people came before the king, for every one of Israel had fled to his tent. Now all the people were in a dispute throughout all the tribes of Israel, saying, the king saved us from the hands of our enemies. He delivered us from the hand of the Philistines, and now he has fled from the land because of Absalom. But Absalom, whom we anointed over us, has died in battle. Now, therefore, why do you say nothing about bringing back the king? So King David sent to Zadok and Abiathar the priest, saying, speak to the elders of Judah, saying, why are you the last to bring the king back to his house, since the words of all Israel have come to the king, to this very house? You are my brethren. You are my bone and my flesh. Then why then are you the last to bring back the king? And they say to Amasa, are you not my bone and my flesh? God do so to me and more also, if you are not commander of the army before me continually in place of Joab. So he swayed the hearts of all the men of Judah just as the heart of one man, so that they sent his word to the king, return you and all your servants. Then the king returned and came to the Jordan, and Judah came to Gilgal to go to meet the king, to escort the king across the Jordan. And Shammai, the son of Gera, a Benjamite who was from Bahurim, heard and came down with the men of Judah to meet King David. There were 1,000 men of Benjamin with him, and Ziba, the servant of the house of Saul, and his 15 sons and his 20 servants with him. And they went over the Jordan before the king. Then a ferry boat went across to carry over the king's household and to do what he thought good. Now Shammai, the son of Gera, fell down before the king when he had crossed the Jordan. Then he said to the king, do not let my lord impugn iniquity to me, or remember what wrong your servant did on the day that my lord the king left Jerusalem. And for those that don't know who Shammai is, he is the one that threw rocks and all this stuff, just had a field day, threw rocks at David and all his people, called them out of their names, just was a nasty, evil mess. And now he's on his knees asking for forgiveness. So let's keep it moving. He says, for I, your servant, know that I have sinned. Therefore, here I am, the first to come today of all the house of Joseph to go down to meet my lord, the king. But Abishai, the son of Zerah, as it says, shall not Shammai be put to death for this, because he cursed the Lord's anointed. And David said, what have I to do with you, you sons of Zerah, that you should be adversaries to me today? Shall any man be put to death today in Israel? For do I not know that today I am king over Israel? Therefore the king said to Shammai, you shall not die. And the king swore to him. Now, Mephibosheth, now remember, Mephibosheth's servant told David that Mephibosheth had said that, you know, his father's kingdom would rise again, and I am paraphrasing. And so David gave all Mephibosheth's stuff to his servant Ziba. So let's keep moving, and this is what it says. Now Mephibosheth, the son of Saul, came down to meet the king, and he had not cared for his feet, nor trimmed his mustache, nor washed his clothes from the day the king departed until the day he returned in peace. So it was when he had come to Jerusalem to meet the king that the king said to him, why did you not go with me, Mephibosheth? And he answered, my lord, O king, my servant deceived me. For your servant said, I will saddle a donkey for myself, and I may ride on it and go to the king, because your servant is lame. And he had saddled your servant, has slandered your servant to my lord the king, but my lord the king is like the angel of God. For do what is good in your eyes, for all my father's house were but dead men before my lord the king. Yet you set your servant among those who eat at your own table. Therefore, what right have I still to cry out any more to the king? So the king said to him, why do you speak any more of your manners? I have said, you and Ziba divide the land. Then Mephibosheth said to the king, rather let him take it all, inasmuch as my lord the king has come back in peace to his own house. and Barzillai, the Gileadite, came down from Rigelum and went across the Jordan with the king to escort him across the Jordan. Now, Barzillai was a very aged man, 80 years old, and he had provided the king with supplies while he stayed at Manahem, for he was a very rich man. And the king said to Barzillai, come across with me, and I will provide for you while you are with me in Jerusalem. But Barzillai said to the king, how long have I to live that I should go up with the king to Jerusalem? I am today 80 years old. Can I discern between the good and the bad? Can your servant taste what I eat or what I drink? Can I hear any longer the voice of singing men and singing women? Why then should your servant be a further burden to my lord the king? Your servant will go a little way across the Jordan with the king. And why should the king repay me with such a reward? Please let your servant turn back again, that I may die in my own city, near the grave of my father and mother. But here is your servant, Shimham. Let him cross over with my lord, the king, and do for him what seems good to you. And the king answered, Shimham shall cross over with me, and I will do for him what seems good to you. Now, whatever you request of me, I will do for you. Then all the people went over the Jordan, and when the king had crossed over, the king kissed Barzillai and blessed him, and he returned to his own place. Now the king went on to Gilgal, and Shimham went on with him, and all the people of Judah escorted the king, and also half the people of Israel. Just then all the men of Israel came to the king and said to the king, Why have our brethren, the men of Judah, stolen you away and brought the king, his household, and all David's men with him across the Jordan? So all the men of Judah answered the men of Israel, because the king is a close relative of ours. Why then are you angry over this matter? Have we ever eaten at the king's expense, or has he given us any gift? And the men of Israel answered the men of Judah and said, we have 10 shares in the king. Therefore, we also have more right to David than you. Why do you despise us? Were we not the first to advise bringing back our king? Yet the words of the men of Judah were fiercer than the words of the men of Israel. Now they're fighting over. But Joab is the one that had to get David straight real quick. But David is now headed home. And now Israel's fighting over him and Judah's fighting over him. And you want to say, where were all y'all when Absalom was losing his mind? But anyway, neither here nor there. Let's keep moving into chapter 20. Always, it is a good word, because we all know families have moments. And this is what it says. And there happened to be there a rebel whose name was Sheba, the son of Barak of Benjamite. And he blew a trumpet and said, we have no share in David, nor do we have inheritance in the son of Jesse. Every man to his own tent, O Israel. So every man of Israel deserted David and followed Sheba, the son of Bichri. But the men of Judah from the Jordan as far as Jerusalem remained loyal to their king. Now David came to his house at Jerusalem, and the king took the 10 women, his concubines, whom he had left to keep the house, and put them in seclusion and supported them, but did not go into them. So they were shut up to the day of their death, living in widowhood. And the king said to Amasa, assemble the men of Judah for me within 3 days, and be present here yourself. So Amasa went to assemble the men of Judah, but he delayed longer than the set time which David had appointed him. And David said to Abishai, now Sheba, the son of Bichri, will do us more harm than Absalom. Take your Lord's servant and pursue him, lest he find for himself 45 cities and escape us. So Joab's men with the Shurites and the Philistites and all the mighty men who went out after him, and they went out of Jerusalem in pursuit of Sheba the son of Bichri. When there were in the large stone, which is in Gibeon, Amasa came before them. Now Joab was dressed in battle armor. On it was a belt with a sword fastened in its sleeve at his hip. And as he was going forward, it fell out. Then Joab said to Amasa, "Are you in health, my brother?" And Joab took Amasa by the beard with his right hand to kiss him, but Amasa did not notice the sword that was in Joab's hand, and he struck him with it in the stomach, and his entrails poured out on the ground, and he did not strike him again. Thus he died. Joab don't play. I'm sorry. He ain't right, but he don't play. He's Joab, and he done did some stuff, but he was not giving up his leadership role to anybody. And Amasa, who didn't do what he was told to do, lost his life. You know, we got to do what we're told to do, and we need to do it in a timely manner. And as we continue in chapter 20 of 2 Samuel, it says this: Then Joab and Abishai, his brother, pursued Sheba the son of Bichri, meanwhile, one of Joab's men stood near Amasa and said, "Whoever favors Joab and whoever is for David, follow Joab." But Amasa wallowed in his blood in the middle of the highway. And when the men saw that all the people stood still, he moved Amasa from the highway to the field and threw a garment over him. When he saw that everyone who came upon him halted, then when he was removed from the highway, all the people went on after Joab to pursue Sheba, the son of Bichri. And I think that should be pronounced Bichri. And he went through all the tribes of Israel to Abel and Beth Mekai and all the Beerites, but they were gathered together and also went after Sheba. Then they came and besieged him in Abel of Beth Mekai, and they cast up a siege mount against the city, and it stood by the rampart, and all the people who were in Joab battered the wall to throw it down. Then a wise woman cried out from the city, "Hear, hear, please say to Joab, come nearby that I may speak with you." When he had come near, the woman said, "Are you Joab?" He answered, "I am." Then she said to him, "Hear the words of your maidservant." He answered, "I'm listening." So she spoke, saying, They used to talk in former times, saying, "They shall surely seek justice, seek guidance at Abel." And so they would end dispute. "I am among the peaceable and faithful in Israel. You seek to destroy a city and a mother in Israel. Why would you swallow up the inheritance of the Lord?" And Joab answered and said, Far be it from me that I should swallow up or destroy. That is not so. But a man from the mountains of Ephraim, Sheba the son of Bichri by name, has raised his hand against the king, against David. Deliver him only, and I will depart from the city. So the woman said to Joab, "Watch his head will be thrown to you over the wall." Then the woman in her wisdom went to all the people, and they cut off the head of Sheba, the son of Bichri, and threw it over to Joab. Then he blew a trumpet, and they withdrew from the city, every man to his tent. So Joab returned to the king at Jerusalem, and Joab was over all the army of Israel. Benaniah, the son of Joadad, was over the Cherites and the Peleites, and Adoram was in charge of revenue. Jehoshaphat, the son of Ahilud, was recorder. Sheba was scribe. Zadok and Abathar were the priests, and Ira the Jerite was the chief minister under David. So everybody had their, so we're going to go into our psalm for today. And we are in Psalms chapter 67, verses 1 through 7. To the chief musician on string instrument, a psalm, a song. God be merciful to us and bless us. and cause his face to shine upon us, Selah, that your way may be known on earth, your salvation among all nations. Let the people praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. O, let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you shall judge the people righteously and govern the nations on earth, Selah. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Then the earth shall yield our increase. God, our own God, shall bless you, bless us, and all the ends of the earth shall fear him. A life lesson from Psalm 67, verse 1. God be merciful to us and bless us and cause his face to shine on us. And as Dr. Stanley says, as sinners saved by grace, we all need mercy, God's mercy. We all need his blessing, and life goes much better when his face shines upon us. So why not ask him for all three, as the psalmist did? And the psalmist asked God for mercy. He asked for grace. He needs. Even though God already knows the desires of our heart, it's always nice to ask and then always to remember to say thank you. And I have a life lesson from our Old Testament word, 2 Samuel 19:4. Oh, my son Absalom, oh, Absalom, my son, my son. The sword continued to devour David's house as Nathan had predicted. God's promises always come true, whether for blessing or for judgment. And David was under some judgment. You know, everything that the Lord said would happen, so far it's happening and will continue to happen until it is done. Psalm 67, verse 33. The lot is cast into the lap, but its every decision is from the Lord. Better is a dry morsel with quietness than a house full of feasting with strife. And that's the truth. Better to be by yourself quiet than be in a house of folks with contention. Every time you at the family reunion, somebody in the family got to get into it. Somebody got to be talking about somebody else. When you go to church, there's contention. You got this click, that click, and another click. You know, we don't want to be in a house of contention. But we should be in a house of love. And that's why I will say this. I love my church. It is so peaceful to go into the house of God. And there is no contention. There is no confusion. Everybody's hands on, all hands on deck, working together to do the business of the Lord. And it is wonderful to be with people who love God. And there's no foolishness. There's no jealousies, no envy, no stuff. And you find it in so many churches. You know, God has a tendency to just do a little shake up, and he will pull the weeds out so that the wheat can grow stronger. So that if weeds come back, the wheat is strong and firm that the weeds can swallow them up. It is awesome. And I just tell God, thank you, Lord, for doing what you have done in ministry, because we are a strong, truly loving church, and I get excited about going to church. I get excited about working for the God in the kingdom. You know, and I'm going to say this as a church announcement. If there is anyone that you know who needs food, starting in the first week of June, Table of Life Ministries will be giving out food once a week, and not just on our food pantry day, which is the third Friday of every month, but once a week. On Thursday nights, we will feed the community, and on Sundays, we will feed the community for those that are hungry and need food. So just an FYI, if you know anyone that is in need of a bag of food. Please, moving forward with MinisterB at gmail.com. And that's moving forward with, which is a W, MinisterB at gmail.com. Thank you so much. Or you can go to the Table of Life Ministries.net and find information on how to contact Hope. I don't know if my pastor's on today, but if she is, please push the number 1 so that she can give this church announcement. It is very important. You know, God wants us to feed the hungry. He wants us to take care of those that are in need. So please, or if there's anyone from the table that is on this morning, please push the 1 if you have a flyer so that we can get the information, because we want to feed the hungry of our community. So thank you so much, family. As we continue in our word in John chapter 8, verses 1 through 27. And in this section, we talk about the woman caught in the act of adultery, which I mentioned at the beginning of the show. This woman did not commit adultery by herself. But again, they didn't bring the man. They just brought her. And Jesus had to let them see themselves. And I think he was writing in the dust for each one that was looking, his sin, his stuff, what he had done in the dark that nobody else but God and his son would know. And that's why all of them had to throw them stones down and walk away, because he was writing down, "This is what I believe." That's not what the word says, but that's what I believe. And this is what the word says. But Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. Now, early in the morning, he came again into the camp, into the temple, excuse me, and all the people came to him, and he sat down and taught them. Then the scribes and Pharisees brought to him a woman caught in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they said to him, "Teacher, this woman was caught in adultery, in the very act." The very act. Again, where is the man? Now, Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what do you say? Because they're trying to start mess. This, they said, testing him, that they might have something of which to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and wrote on the ground with his finger, as though he did not hear. So when they continued asking him, he raised himself up, said to them, "He who is without sin among you, let him throw a stone at her first." And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. Then those who heard it began being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning with the oldest even to the last. And Jesus was left alone and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had raised himself up and saw no one but the woman, he said to her, "Woman, where are those accusers of yours? Has no one condemned you?" She said, "No one, Lord." And Jesus said to her, "Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more." But know what he told her. Go and sin no more. In other words, don't come up in here on me again in the act of adultery. Go and sin no more. Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, "I am the light of the world. Follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life." I want to read that again. That's a highlightable. Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, "I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life." The Pharisees therefore said to him, "You bear witness of yourself. Your witness is not true." Jesus answered and said to them, "Even if I bear witness of myself, my witness is true. For I know where I came from and where I'm going. But you do not know where I come from and where I'm going. You judge according to the flesh. I judge no one." And that is the title of our word this morning. And yet, if I do judge, my judgment is true. For I am not alone, but I am, there it is again, with the Father who sent me. It is also written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. I am one who bears, Father who sent me bears witness of me. Then they said to him, where is your Father? Jesus answered, you know neither me nor my Father. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. These words Jesus spoke in the treasury as he taught in the temple, and no one laid hands on him, for his hour had not yet come. Then Jesus said to them again, I am going away, and you will seek me and will die in your sin. Where I go, you cannot come. So the Jews said, will he kill himself? Because he says, where I go, you cannot come. And he said to them, you are from beneath. I am from above. You are of this world. I am not of this world. Therefore, I said to you that you will die in your sins. But if you do not believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. Then they said to him, who are you? And Jesus said to them, just what I have been saying to you from the beginning. I have many things to say and do and to judge concerning you. But he who sent me is true, and I speak to the world those things which I heard from him. They did not understand that he spoke to them of the Father. Our life lesson from John chapter 8 is this. Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. Jesus is gracious and merciful, but he never ceases to be holy. He calls us to a life of holiness and obedience to his Father, and he gives us the spiritual resources we need to walk in righteousness. And this is a Life Some Life Questions from Dr. Stanley. If you want to grab a pen or pencil to write some of these things down, I will give you a couple of seconds, and then we're going to get started. And it says, why does God tell us to avoid evil and sin no more? John 8 and 11. And we'll be hitting a couple other scriptures as we go forth in this word as well. We're ready, so we're ready to go. And we're going to go over to, if you want to mark these, Romans chapter 3. And it'll be verse number 23. And it says this. Dr. Stanley says, those who hope that God will tolerate a little sinfulness also tend to tolerate sinfulness in themselves to the point that they do nothing about their sin, even though they recognize it is wrong. But we are all sinful. You may protest. We all fall short of perfection. True enough, Romans 3:23 says plainly, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And we have. But as we go to that word, let's go up to verse 21, and it says, but now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Being justified, verse 24, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in this, in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God. Understand, we all fall short, and we all have sinned. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Romans chapter 3, verse 23. But recognize our sin should compel wash me and make me clean in your sight. When we recognize we have committed a trespass against our neighbors or that we have sinned against God, we should not casually brush aside our offense as to say, well, that's just my human nature. Rather, we need to come to God and say, I have sinned. Have mercy upon me. Transform me, Lord, into the likeness of Christ so that I won't desire to do this again. And we're going to go over to Deuteronomy chapter 19. Deuteronomy chapter 19. And I will be in the King James Version. Chapter 19, and we're going to go to verse 19 and verse 20. And so we get it in context. So we're in 19:19, and to get it in context, it is the laws about witnesses. And verse 15 says, one witness shall not rise up against the man for any iniquity or for any sin. In any sin that he sinneth at the mouth of two witnesses or at the mouth of three witnesses shall the matter be established. If a false witness rise up against any man to testify against him, that which is wrong, then both the men between whom the controversy is shall stand before the Lord, before the priests and the judges, which shall be in those days. And the judges shall make diligent inquisition. And behold, if the witness be a false witness, his brother, this is verse 19, then shall ye do unto him as he has asked. He had thought to have done unto his brother. So shalt thou put the evil away from among you. And those who remain shall hear and fear and shall henceforth commit no more any such evil among you. And thine eyes shall not pity, but life shall go for life. Eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot. And then when we go over, and it says, you shall put away the evil from among you, and those remain shall hear and fear, and hereafter they shall not again commit such evil among you. Centuries later, Jesus told a woman caught in the act of blatant sin, go and sin no more, John 8 and 11. And these are some things to maybe write down. And it says, facing the fact that we are sinful creatures is not the same as tolerating sin in our lives. The scriptures teach us that God desires for us to hate sin and its consequences and to turn from evil at every opportunity. We are not to imitate evil. We are not to embrace evil. We are not to flirt with evil. We are not to be curious about evil. Rather, we are to turn our backs on it and run from it at full speed. Why does God want you to flee from evil? Because he desires to protect you from sin's terrible consequences. The Lord can look into the future and see what you will reap when you sow sinfulness. Remember, you never receive only what you sow as a seed of sin. That seed produces a harvest of sinful consequences. Anguish, trials, heartaches, adversity. You will receive from your sinful deed a negative consequence with compounding interest. Sinful seed multiplies just as good seed multiplies. And that is our word for this morning. I'd like to thank you all for listening to the word. Please forgive your host. I am a little under the weather this morning, but all is well. I will not complain. And I love the word one more time. You judge according to the flesh, I judge no one. The Lord judges us. And Jesus just said, I judge no one. Because God wants us to be the best us we can be. As we get ready to wrap it up this morning, I have a word from our sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn. And the word for today is simply this. Good morning. No matter how things look right now, know that God is still in control of our lives. Stay in peace and believe that he will always be with you in all situations. Have a motivated Monday. And that is the truth. Even in his foolishness of grieving his son over all the people that stood with him, David had to shake it off and get it together and do what was right by Israel and Judah. Even though she was caught in the act of adultery, this woman had to look at herself. The people that wanted to kill her had to look at themselves and do what was right. And as Sister Carolyn says, no matter how things look right now, my son is dead. He tried to kill me. Know that God is still in control of our life. God gave me back my kingdom. Stay in peace and believe that he will always be with you in all situations. I was caught in the act of adultery, about to die, but I met a man who knew everything about me, but he knew everything about those that wanted to kill me too. And he saved my life, and I will sin no more. So Sister Carolyn, as always, is all up in the lesson, and I thank God for her. But she is a wonderful woman of God. And I just thank God that we all can stand on his word daily, meditate on it day and night. So I thank you all for being here with me. I thank God for you, and I ask him to watch over you and bless you and take care of you. And as we say every day, may the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent, one from each other. In the precious and holy name of our Savior Christ Jesus, I pray over you and yours. Have a blessed and wonderful day, knowing that wherever you go, our Father God is with you. Be blessed, family. It is a wrap. And please, God willing, join me tomorrow morning, 7 a.m. Central Standard Time, where we will still be in 2 Samuel. We will have Psalms and Proverbs, and we will still be in John chapter 8. So thank you so much. Be blessed and have a wonderful, wonderful. It is a wrap. Why? Because we got to go to work. Who do we work for? We work for God. Take care, family, and have a great day. It's a wrap.